Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus because you make all things new. Father, we thank you because in your presence, everything is refreshed. Everything is restored. Everything that was dead comes to life. In the name of Jesus, we thank you because the Spirit of life is in us and with us to bring to life everything that was in a state of atrophy in any part of our lives. And we thank you, Father, because we move from any form of barrenness or stagnation and we move into an area of fruitfulness. And we bear fruit and our fruit stays, as the word says. Now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because this is a time that is spoken that let even the barren rejoice more than she who has many children. Because there is no barren among us. In the name of Jesus. Fruitfulness is our portion. In whatever we undertake to do, we are fruitful. And we shall be known as those who are fruitful. And our fruit shall be seen by all. For the praise of the glory of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. Because this is what you are doing here in our midst today. And there shall be evidence of it that cannot be refuted. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Psalms 46 verse 4 says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. And he shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Praise the Lord. Now, today is the break of dawn for anything that you want restarted in your life. Glory to God. Now, some people, it might be whatever, an endeavor, a marriage, a relationship, or something that today is the break of dawn for that person and for whatever it is they undertake. Now, the scripture says that there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. Praise the Lord. Now, there is a river. Eh? Praise the Lord. There is a river. And remember, a river, you know what the scripture says about fountains, streams, rivers, which flow. It does not talk about stagnant water bodies like lakes. It talks about rivers because they continually renew themselves. Praise the Lord. Now, on this river, it makes glad the city of God. It makes everything that was dead become alive. Amen? And we are in the presence of that. This is what the Lord is telling us today. That everything that was dead, everything that presented itself as come to an end, is being revived right now in our midst. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, if there is no river, or there is a river and it is giving off bad waters, like it was in the book of 2 Kings chapter 2, then the men of the city say to Elisha, please notice the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees. But the water is bad and the ground is barren. Praise the Lord. In other words, beautiful city, beautiful place, would like to dwell here, but the water is bad. And if the water is bad, then we cannot stay here. Because the water, I hope you understand what water means something. Eh? So the water is bad and the ground is barren. So we are in a nice place, okay? But something is not working out. So they come to the man of God and say, man of God, I just got a new job. Everything seems to be okay. I'm in a good city, but I was diagnosed with a sickness. So now the water is bad. It should be good. I should be happy. But the water is bad and the ground is barren. Or, man of God, I just got married, but we have no money. We have no place to go and stay, you know, with my wife. So the city is good. There is something good, but it's not entirely good. Now, there's some, like,
And so many people, and now this is the unfortunate thing, that people find themselves in a scenario where that is the case in their life. Something is, a few things are working out, but there is a river which is bitter. It might be the river of health, it might be the river of your marriage, or of something. Something is not right. Now the scripture says that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And now when the streams make glad the city of God, they organize everything in your life so that the place is good, the ground is good, the waters are good. Praise the Lord. And everything is good. Glory to God. Now this is the place in which we are coming. But I just want to give you some small end time update before we go into this, six things. But first of all, I want somebody here who has been in a scenario like that, where the water is bitter. And by bitter, I mean really bitter. And like he tasted sweet waters at some stage, but then the waters became bitter. Where is that guy, that garlic guy? Come, praise the Lord. Now this man here, you see, came to my office about when? About a year ago. He came to my office about a year ago, and he was in a very bad place. He once had a thriving business, a booming business, and somehow the business went completely. At the peak of your powers, how many cars did you have? 5 cars. At the peak of your powers. Okay. Then something happened and he started going down and down and down. And until he reached the absolute bottom, rock bottom. And he said he would wake up in the morning and he stays in the house the whole day and gets night and the next day. And he has no transport, he has no food. Okay? That is somebody who once tasted sweet waters, but now he's tasting bitter waters. For how long did that last?
2015 to okay. 2017.
Yes. When he came to my office, he had listened to the tapes of sowing and reaping and had learned the danger of sowing in bad ground. And now that is what had actually brought him down. Now, I want you people to understand that when we say bad ground and what, it is so serious that there are places which will bring you down no matter who you are and no matter what you are. You understand? Eh? And there are other people who have what? Tasted of that. Who have seen good things and then suddenly it turns around and now it becomes very bad. And the only thing they did, now this man is a giver and he's actually a kingdom financer. And everybody who is a kingdom financer finds themselves giving. But he was giving in wrong ground and it completely brought him to the ground. Now he told me he even just wanted to leave town and go to some village somewhere and hide. Now do you know why people do things like that? Because the people you once knew, if you've never tasted the sweet waters, it's bad, but it's not that bad. But if you've ever, you know, people have related with you as this rich guy, eh? Then suddenly you're on the ground. Do you know, even just coming out of a car into a taxi, you feel oppressed. Yet there are people who are in taxis and they're happy. Why? Because they have not gone the other side. Eh? Now, it is never God's will for anybody to come backwards. Eh? It is very oppressive. Do you understand? Eh? So, this man finds himself completely oppressed and he has tested good waters before. So, he comes to me. So tell me, when I used to tell you about how God is going to lift you, how would you?
I could leave your office and I'm like, ah. Because I could even remember the cars I gave. I gave 2 cars in 1 year and I was like, ah, I wish I could just get half of it.
You sold the cars? Eh?
Yeah.
In a certain ground?
In a certain ground.
Okay. Go ahead.
And, even the amount of money I could give. You know, I have bank statements that are in 20, what. So many banks, eh? So I could look on those bank statements when I'm at home and I'm saying, God, what happened?
How many accounts?
I had like 5 accounts, eh?
And all of them had tens of millions.
Yeah, I was in that.
Yeah, but now you had no food.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So he came to me and what were you planning to do at the time?
I wanted to fly out, actually. Yeah.
Now, do you know why people want to run away? Have you ever been with people who related with you at that level, eh? When you had money? Now, you even show up and they look at you and they don't want to associate with you. So, when you meet 1, 2, and you see that now, like, people are looking, you just move away from them and go away. It's easier that way. You understand, eh? Tell us.
Okay, like you had told me, don't go to Sweden, you know, you're going to suffer, what. So I pushed it. I used to go to him, push it. But then I had a background business that I was doing and despoted. Just like any way, you know, when you want to get rich, you have to be wise. That's one thing. And I spotted that in Uganda, we import 100% garlic. So when I spotted that business, was way back in 2012. So I started doing a background investigation on it and all that. Yeah, so I wanted to take up that market. You know, you just imagine how Chinese get billions and billions of money. I went even to URA to find out how much money do these guys get.
In garlic.
Mm. And you could find that they get around 600 billions, you know? And that's a lot of money. And
where, in Uganda?
In Uganda, yeah.
Selling garlic in Uganda?
Exactly. So I of course, I had the financial power and I wanted to take it up. I started it, but initially, I was in an engineering background. And I was doing all this money, I got it from engineering because I did electrical engineering. So what I did, I didn't somehow, because when you're connecting with the wrong grounds, you will leave what is profitable and you enter into other deals. That's how I ended up losing millions of money. And it was huge. You know, you lose 10 million, you lose another 10 million, you lose. It comes at the highest rate that you cannot control it. I could even drive when I was going down. It took me 3 years to go down. But when I was going down, people could see me and they think, man, this guy is good, he's driving. But when I have a lot of thoughts, I remember even I knocked and, you know, you are moving in thoughts. You are seeing that you are running down at the highest rate. So going back to the business, I spotted this business and I started it. He has the photos there. I started it and now I'm supplying to quite a supermarket. I started farming. I have over 700 outgrowers. And I'm taking it up.
When did this outgrowers start?
2015. Uh-huh. That's when I started with the outgrowers. Mm-hmm. But this is a time when I was going down. Eh? I had no car now. I was on Futubish. So, you know, I tried. But then I had a little amount of money. Like, you have like three there. You are insufficient. Eh? So I got the garlic because I had amassed garlic seeds. Because I was
where did you get the garlic seed?
I got it them from Spain.
Spain?
Yeah, Spain.
And what about the Chinese garlic? Does it have seeds?
No, it doesn't grow. Actually, if you have a backyard, try the Chinese garlic. It can't grow. Because, can I tell them where they grow garlic?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, if you can go, Chinese, what they do, they don't have the land that we have. The grounds that are fertile, well drained and all that. So what they do, on the flats up, on the rooftops, they get cotton and they mix it with sewage and then they grow the garlic and they bring to us and we eat. So you can see
how they grow garlic in sewage.
Yes.
Okay.
It's everywhere on internet. You can just go and see it. So you guys, remnants, just support me. Yeah, you have to eat. It's organic.
And I've been eating garlic. Not knowing I'm eating what. So yes, go ahead.
Okay, now the testimony is I have a car.
So in Sweden, so when you wanted to go to Sweden, now this man came to me, he wanted to go to Sweden, but the thing is, he wanted to stay there. And I knew that would hijack his destiny. Now you see, the thing is, when you see what somebody is capable of, and that person, because of the circumstances they are in, they don't see it. You understand? So now he wants to run away, but for me, I'm saying, stay here. There is a powerful thing for you right here. So he came to me and told me to pray for his papers, what Sweden and all that. But I told him first promise me you're not going to stay there. So he lied to me, he told me he's not, but he was planning to. But somehow I felt a resistance in me. So when, you know, when you try to pray for something and you're feeling a resistance. So I said, man, chill this thing. So he remained here, but still kind of a bit, you know, like, a bit broke. Then he started his garlic thing. So how did you revive your garlic thing?
Okay. I added in more, you know, you see those greenware mesh bags. Eh? So I could not compete with Chinese how they are doing it. So what I did, I actually contacted Chinese to give me the green mesh bags. Green meaning it's organic. Then I started. And not knowing, when I supplied to Capital Shoppers, it was my first time. these guys, the way they ate the garlic, it was at the highest rate. So in the shortest period, like 3 months, I got money, I bought my car, you know, things worked out very well, and it's really going high.
Okay, now tell me, in 2013, when you were at Open House at Zoe Fellowship, the dream you had and the interpretation.
Yeah, and 2013, there I had so much thoughts. Those were the days of thoughts. When I'm driving, but so many thoughts. I'm going down. So I had a dream, and in this dream I was in China. And when I was in China, I was like praying. I prayed for a kid was adopted by an American citizen. And then the hand from nowhere, it came on. And I was like,
The kid had no hand.
He had no hand.
He prayed and the hand came on.
Then Prophet Elvis said that, I want to interpret dreams. Then for me, I just lifted my hand. And everyone was like, me. But he said, no, there is a guy who lifted his hand up there. He said, okay, tell us. I told him about a dream. Then he told me that, you know what? You're going to take a very big hand of business from China. Then I thought, okay, now I have to go to Chikubo, process a visa. I did it. I got a visa. And it was the easiest. And that's the day. Those are the days when many Ugandans, young guys, were caught in China. You remember those days?
Drugs, what?
With drugs. So me, I had no papers, because but I had good bank statements.
So you went and got a visa to China. Did you go to China? Fast.
No, I didn't.
Okay, now that's 2013. Now, so tell us today. So you said that there was an American, what was the dream again?
An American citizen who had a child.
A Chinese child.
A child. Uh-huh. I didn't recognize if it was Chinese.
But you were in China.
Yeah, I was in China.
And then you prayed for the person and the hand got backwards.
Exactly.
Okay. Now tell us what happened recently with the Americans.
Yeah, now, within that time, when I started the garlic, I started, because I did a lot of research, so I got some American friends who are in Missouri and they are doing the same thing. And then I started up a website. It's called Fort Garlic Farm. You can even, I can include you in the group. So, when I started it, these American people, they started supporting me somehow, somewhere. Then initially, they started sending me the invitation. But when they sent me the invitation, these guys didn't give me the visa. One, two, three. I actually told Apostle Abraham, I wrote to the ambassador. Things like that, and there was. And she sent me to the visa section, and they were telling me the same thing. You reapply.
And pay again. Okay.
Then, recently, we had this, the Mandela Washington what. Some of you know about them, where they look for the young leader and all that. I went through this Mandela Washington Leadership Summit, but in business, in entrepreneurship. So I went through, and this guy's planning in June.
Okay. Now, last year, he made something on the internet where they were saying, you know, apply for this thing, you go to American. So he applied. So there were so many people who applied, and they weren't interviewing them at the American embassy. So they were interviewing them one by one, just asking them, what business idea do you have? Now, the thing is, they take them to America and kind of like coach them on how to present their ideas for about a month and a half. How long? 6 weeks. And after that, they present them before rich guys, and you present your idea and the rich guys finance it if your idea is impressive. But they first train you and then on how to present the idea. Then when you present the idea, if somebody is interested in it, then he picks it up and says, I will fund that. So this guy, how long did the interviews last? Okay, so at the embassy. How many interviews did you have?
Okay, we applied online. Then they called us for the semi-finalist. I was among. When they called me, of course, now I had my business, so I was not very good.
You were not desperate?
Yes, because they were asking me questions, and we were like jazzing. I told them, you know, guys, this is what I'm doing. If you are taking me, even though you don't take me, I will still conquer the Chinese. And these white guys were like, you are joking. Yeah. So I told them there was no way any room of give me or what.
So they gave you.
Hey, after a week, they wrote to me that congratulations, you are chosen, and this is what.
So you're going to America.
Yeah, in June.
Which in June, eh?
Yeah.
June. For that 6 weeks and then you come back and...
Actually, for 3 months. Mm-hmm.
3 months? Mm. Then you come back and...
Yes.
Okay. Mm. Now, you remember the dream, eh? An American, then his arm of business from China. Now, his dream is to cut off the Chinese supplying garlic to Uganda. And he supplies it himself because their garlic is grown in sewage. Now, he has already started through this. How many times do you supply at this supermarket? Like Capital Shoppers?
It's like twice a week.
Okay.
But it's in big quantities. Eh? Yeah. I also wonder where they...
And people buy.
At the highest rate.
How many checks do you get from Capital Shoppers?
Every week I get 2 checks.
Every week you get 2 checks. Okay. Now, I want you to know that. Now, so you see the hand of God. Eh? The dream was interpreted in 2013. That an arm of, like an arm business. Now, you see some of you people who are trying to interpret dreams. You say you are called in the healing ministry because you drew. because you prayed for your arm and it came back. Eh? But you see now, the dream comes to pass. And now, this guy, what did you tell the Americans about your organic thing?
Oh, the organic. Okay, actually. They were the one telling me, suggesting. I told them that, you know what, you guys, I'm not actually focusing on only garlic, but I'm focusing on putting out outlets for organic, only organic, carrots, what, everything is organic, when the grains, eh? Because right now, they have destroyed the way people are planting things. They are using so much chemicals. And these guys were like, yeah, we've been looking for people like you to come up and we give them contracts here to supply us at the American embassy. I was like, okay. Yeah, now I have a connection. They said, yeah, we shall connect you. We shall contact you. So that's how it was. It was
okay. Now, praise the Lord. Are you encouraged? Because the man went to American visa, denied.
Now
they are the ones who are taking him at their expense.
At their cost.
At their cost and everything. Now, remember, the Americans also want to cut off the Chinese from Africa. So it is in his interests and it is in their interests. So somehow God makes both interests what? Collide, and somehow, somebody like him is blessed. So now he started having money. Then he went to a neighborhood where there were so many people doing witchcraft. Now, the one person, do you remember the... Listen to this. Do you remember when I told you about 3 a.m. prayer? Yes. The one person who got it is this man. Because when he came to me at the bottom, I told him, just don't stop waking up at 3 a.m. and praying. So somehow, he stuck to it. Okay, but when he got some money, he became a bit lazy. But he was woken up one day. When what happened?
Okay, I found lost money. I don't know who threw the money.
How
it
much?
Was 1,000.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I was not moved by 1,000. So,
but you picked it up still?
I picked it up because I had people. I had people who work for me. So many ladies come over and they work for me. So I thought maybe they have lost their money. He said, let me pick this money. I'll give it to them. Then somehow, somewhere, I forgot because I'm doing a lot of things. I didn't take it like a serious issue. Then all of a sudden, my wife picks the same money. She was not around. Then she came after like 2 weeks, picks the same money. When she told me, I told her, no, don't put that money in the house. So I forgot that I also picked the same money. I don't know how the Holy Spirit helped me on it.
So how did it come back?
Now, how it came back, at Capital Shoppers, they could call me all the time.
To bring more garlic.
Yeah. Now, almost two weeks, I've not received a call. I said, what's up? What's going on? So when I woke up to pray, I prayed for 10 minutes. I used to pray for 1 hour.
But
so,
now he has money.
I slept. But while I was sleeping, I was meditating, like saying, hey, Mukama, I know what's going on. Then the Spirit of the Lord opened my eyes. That don't you see that you are not selling? I could not see it. He said, yes. Do you remember that your wife picked money? He said, yes. Do you remember that you also picked money? He said, oh. There is danger. I called her. Let us pray. Then we started praying. But while, because for me, I could wake up alone. But while I called her, actually, she had died because of that money. Because she could see herself, her body was down, and her spirit could move all over, and but the only person who could listen to her was the sister. And she could tell the sister that Frank, that's my name, is at the gate knocking. He wants to enter in. But you tell her, I mean, you tell him that the money I picked, it has caused my death. So when she gave me that dream, we started praying against it. Because now we knew that we are attacked. And we knew now the neighborhood. Because we had just joined that place. So I knew now there is something going on. So we started praying. We prayed against it. We prayed against it. But initially, before that happening, when I just came to the place, a man, a Somali, why Somali, Eritrean, that type of color, came at my workshop when everyone was working. I was putting on gloves and everyone, and people were smarter than me, but the man spotted me where I was, passing all businesses all around. For us, we are hidden somewhere. The man came that he wants some money. I told him, you know what, I can't give you money because I had learned a lesson with money, and which I want everyone to learn here. Don't give out money like that. There is, just like the man of God says that you come and connect with the anointing. So whenever you release your money anywhere, there is a way they take your blessing. So me, I had already understood that thing because I lost it and I understood his message.
So that man, you refused to give him money. He said he's hungry.
He said that he had not eaten for 3 days.
So you offered to give him food?
I gave him food. A very nice food dish.
And he didn't eat?
And he didn't eat.
But he insisted he wanted 1,000.
Yeah, so I told the workers there, this man may be asking us for money when he's driving a Mercedes Benz there. And actually, the man had a Mercedes Benz. Because when I chased him, I told him, he showed me the keys. And I was like, what?
Anyway, so now here is the thing. So after you had prayed against that 1,000, what happened? When you went to the supermarket?
Now, when I went to the supermarket, I was shocked. Because I drove and I said, let me go there and I check on these guys.
They had not called you for 3 weeks?
For 1.5 weeks.
Okay.
Because they could call me twice a week. So reaching there, these guys were telling me, everywhere, all the outlets, we forgot about you. Your things finished long time.
And
everywhere,
just not calling you.
And we are just not calling you. So that day, I went away with the supply contracts from them, and I started as normal.
Okay, praise the Lord. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Now there are two things I wanted us to learn here. Number one is there are so many people who are at that place of barrenness, and God is like bringing you to a place of productivity. Praise the Lord. And like big time productivity. Now, this man has his dreams, big, big time dreams, and they are all of God. And I know they are all going to come to pass. And I wanted to show you that it started from zero. God does not need any raw material to take you up. He is God. Praise the Lord. He can get you from wherever it is and just bring you up. Number one. Number two, these people, just somebody comes and gives you money. You take the money. Your garlic is finished in the supermarket. Those people don't call you. You know, money is spiritual. So you go after sometimes and say, man, we had forgotten. Bring garlic. Your thing got finished long time ago. And now if you had not prayed about it, it will 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and then you go back to being broke. Do you understand? So now, I told you that time when I was preaching, that if you are going to be a king in the day, you have to be a priest at night. Praise the Lord. The things that happen during the day are determined by what happens at night. Amen? By what happens when? So if you want to be vigilant and turn your life around, don't love sleep. Didn't I preach that one day? If you love sleep too much, you will come to poverty. Wake up at 3 and pray. You will see it cannot fail to change your life in 3 months financially. It cannot fail. Praise the Lord. Why 3? Because that I told you about those hours. How important those hours are. So now this man just picked up 3 a.m. 3 a.m. he's up. He prays at least 1 hour. Goes back to sleep. 3 a.m. he's up. Now suddenly his world starts changing. Amen? You remember when I told you about Paul and Silas? When they are put in prison and they are praying at midnight. And during the day, the very people who put them in prison call and say, release those people. And now they even say, we don't want to come out unless you come and take us out yourselves. Now you see, tables have turned at night. Glory to God. Now I want you people to take this thing seriously, because the dominion that God is calling us into will require testimonies like this. Now, when this man comes from America with funders for his garlic thing. Do you understand? In a few months from now. And with funders, with these guys, of course, he's going to get the funders. There's no doubt about that. His dream was interpreted. So it has to happen. And he cuts off the garlic from the Chinese, from here, and he takes that money. Do you know what that does to the kingdom? Do you know why it is so important for all of us? Because I've been talking about people starting in ministry. But I also want people to understand that we have to start also in business. Because all these things have to be dominated by the people of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. And God has called us for that purpose. Now, there is the river that is going to bring alive anything that had died. Just like it was with this guy, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now, when this man came, he was telling me that, by the way, he was very depressed, almost becoming suicidal. Now, that's what having been up there and being down can do. But now, there is a river which has made glad. Glory to God. Now he's full of optimism. He can even go to the Americans who refuse to give him a visa, and he tells them, whether you give me or not, my garlic is in all these supermarkets and I'm going to be rich. And I'm going to cut off the Chinese whether you want it or not. And now guess what? That's when they give it to you because they see you're not Kweguya. Now that's so the guy now takes over. Now, praise the Lord. Now somebody is going to connect to a river today that makes glad in every area of your life. That there is nothing about you that is lacking. There is no area in your life that is like, you know, this is good. Like those people told Elisha that the city is good, the place is good, but the waters are bitter. So we don't want to leave. But if these waters remain bitter, then we have no choice but to leave. Now, the waters have been made sweet. And now there is a place of a river where solutions are. You see, in the Bible, all solutions come from the river. In the book of Genesis, when Abraham sends his servant, Eliezer, to go and get a wife, he goes to where? To the stream. Now, this man is looking for an answer. And there is a young lady who is of marriage age, who is also looking for an answer. Praise the Lord. And where do they meet? Yes, at the river. Glory to God. And that's where miracles happen. At the river. Yeah. Now, fast forward. When Jesus is thirsty and sitting at the well, there is a lady who also has serious problems. Amen? Now, for her, she has something wrong with her, that every man who is with her goes away. Now, those are spiritual things. You get this one, he vanishes. So, right there at the river, she meets her solution. Jesus tells her, this is your problem. Now, all these things, you know, the stream of water which brings healing in every area of our lives is right here today. Praise the Lord. And I told you that these things, we set them up before they come to pass. Now, last night, I'll tell you this first of all. At the end of last year, the Lord told me very clearly that I should delve into the area of healing. He said, your thing is healing. Because that is going to be, apart from the end time and what, healing. So I started pursuing it. And earlier on, I knew about it. Actually, sometime about 6-7 years ago, he told me to read the book about Catherine Kuhlman and told me read that book. And then when I read the book, it birthed something in me. Then I started, you know, and those were just birth pangs. Now this, the end of last year when I was praying about this year, he told me about the healing. Now, last night when I was praying about today, I was seeing the people who are going to be healed. Now, I would not come here today. Like, I don't do those things of, I just show up, praise the Lord. Like, I have to first see what is going to happen. Like I was telling you, if I first sit down and see the weather, if it is not going to be favorable, I will make it favorable. Then, after that, I see what is going to happen. Now, I was seeing people being healed of sicknesses. And they are going to be healed of sicknesses today. And because the river that makes glad is right here. And it is the healing river spoken of in Ezekiel chapter 47, which starts and flows and flows and flows. Because you see, sickness is the default position. Do you know you have to learn how to be sick? Health is the default position. Do you know you have to learn how to be sick? Now, you don't know that. But the truth is, from childhood, You're being trained in how to respond to sickness. You know, this is paining, then they give you a pill. Then this is paining, then they give you a pill. Then this word, then there's a pill. And somehow, you're raised into that. And you live your life like that. And you never come and actually question that. How come that? Now, the day you start training your children, okay? Now, my child comes and says, I'm feeling pain here. I just put my hands on him and rebuke it. And now even I tell him, rebuke it yourself. Then he says, hey, it has gone. Because now I can go and get pills. But then I will teach him what I was taught, which I had to unteach myself. Now, when I got born again, I had to unteach myself that. I told you, before I got born again, I used to get malaria almost every 3 weeks. And those days, there were chloroquine, which would cause people to itch. Eh? Like, man, but by the way, that is hell. Eh? That is hell. Trust me, that is hell. I remember when my P7 results came out. I was at home, and my father was excited because I had, you know, banged things very high. Eh? Yeah, so he was very excited. Those days, they used to put winners in newspapers. Eh? I guess I would have been there. So, anyhow, so my father is very excited, but I just, chloroquine were itching me. I was like, so, man, I was seeing his excitement, eh? But I couldn't share it because I was in the torment of, you know, that 3 nights of no sleep. But, man, that thing tormented me. And I used to take it all the time because I would be sick all the time, all the time. Then I got born again. Now, the funny thing is this. Now, here is how I got to know that this sickness thing is spiritual. As soon as we got born again, even as a family, the first thing that happened, I started getting malaria like once in 6 months. Like, sometimes once in a year. Like, even before I knew about all this divine healing thing. So, I said, how come I was getting it so frequently before? I'm in the same place. Nothing has changed. I'm in the same schools. There are no windows. There are what? Mosquitoes the same. But somehow now I'm not getting sick. Because I'm born again. Now, but then of course I would get it every once in a while. Then I decided even once in a while I don't want. Eh? So I chucked it completely. Praise the Lord. Eh? I chucked it what? Completely. Now, so I had to unlearn how to be sick. I'd been taught how to be sick as a child. You know those things which you learn without knowing how you do. Then one day, that doesn't mean it's the only thing I suffered from. One day the Lord, when I was seeking the Lord, he told me something which revolutionized my life. Even then, I used to sometimes take a pill here and there, take a pill here and there and what. Then one day he told me something which changed my life. He told me, and I was praying about totally different things. Then he spoke to me and it was very clear. He told me the problem with you, and you know, have you ever had a rebuke? Eh? He said, the problem with you is that you treat sickness as a biological problem and not as demonic oppression. That's why you tolerate it. Then he stopped there. Then I wrote it down somewhere and put it somewhere in a piece of paper in my Bible. Then after that, I went and read Acts 10:38, which says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Were they oppressed by viruses? No. Were they oppressed by bacteria? No. By the devil. Now, when you understand that sickness is oppression, like the devil trying to mess you up, I can't go to work, I'm water sick, you know how to stand up against it. Praise the Lord. And the minute you do, it will vanish. You have to just train yourself in this thing and know that my body is a no-sick. But if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Now, in other words, Jesus was dead for 3 days. He was what? He was what? Yes. And the spirit of God got him from death and brought him to life. Now, that same spirit is in you. How then can you say that I have sickle cells? How then can you say that I'm sick of it? If the spirit which raised Jesus, who was dead, dwells inside you, then you have the power, like life is inside you. The spirit of life is inside you. Eh? In actuality, it should be exploding that you touch people and they get healed. Eh? Now, if you're sick, it's because you've tolerated it. Now, you see, and now this is the thing, because it's been taught as... Now, when the Lord told me that I treat it as biological form, I met some guy who was explaining to me about cancer. He told me, you know what causes cancer? So I stopped him. I said, I don't want to know. Because, like, there is nothing that kills faith like knowledge. Like that knowledge, that fake knowledge, which you learn in school, it kills faith completely, because then, you know, the cells do this, then you do this. So now you know, mosquito bites you, then you know the what? Then so you know too much to believe. Now, now other people who don't know, so I don't want to know that, you know, these, you know, 12 foods which cause what? Then I've told you these things, 12 foods which end cancer and what? Praise the Lord. Now I want you to know that, first of all, sickness is going to be a very major part of the Antichrist and his program. Amen? Haven't I told you that before? If anybody is on any drug and needs that drug to survive, they have you. Because the biggest controllers of the New World Order are pharmaceutical companies. And they train doctors to create disease awareness and diseases for everything. Somebody says, I think I own too much. There is a drug. Like, everything. And it's just marketing. Do you understand? Now, when you come out of that knowledge, and you know that there are people, and you go and read about them, they call them disease mongering. So you go, like, somebody told me, I went to the doctor for a checkup. What are you doing there? My checkup is here in the Bible. Now, let me tell you, have you ever woken up when you feel healthy? You feel like you can run a marathon. Go to a doctor and you see if he will not tell you you are suffering from something. Because he's trained to do that. Okay. Have you ever had a car which is perfectly okay? You take it to the garage. They will find something wrong. Do you understand? Why? Because that's their training. They are trained to see what is wrong. Like, there is no way a doctor is going to tell you that, no, you're perfectly okay. I do a clean bit of health and what? The other day, they scared me here. They scared us. My mother just went for a routine checkup. The man told her, you have a hole in your heart and what? Now, I told her he's lying. You don't have a hole in your heart. But you see, how are you going to tell an old woman that? So what I did, brought her to the Heart Institute here, knowing very well there is nothing wrong with her. But just to give her peace. So she went to the Heart Institute and there was nothing wrong. And the doctor just wanted money. He's seeing this old woman driving a car into his clinic. And he imagines she has some loaded what? Children. Which is true, Okay. Who will spend any money to make keep their mother healthy? So he comes up with an alarm. And I told her, you're not sick. There's nothing wrong with you. But I had to go to the Mulago Heart Institute and sit there with her the whole day. The whole day. Until they said, no, there's nothing wrong with you. So I told her, what were you doing in the clinic? Praise the Lord. Now, today, like you people are going to hate sickness. You will not tolerate it at all. The Lord told me the reason you tolerate it is because you treat it as something of biology, some kind of biology. The scripture says Jesus went about healing those who were oppressed of the devil, not of cells over what and all that, of the devil. Now, every sickness, the cause of it might be a bit, okay, some of them are more demonic than others, but at the root is something demonic, So now you learn how not to tolerate sickness. Like you wake up in the morning, I have a headache. No. Like you wake up and say, no. Like, I'm not like that. So even speak to your head and say, I'm not like that. Now, by the way, let me tell you things. Do you know that everything in the world has a voice? The voice of your spirit is often called a conscience. Okay? The voice of your mind is called logic. The voice of your body is called feeling. So when you feel some sickness, your body is telling you that you're sick. But above all those voices is the voice of God, which says, by his stripes you were what? Now, actually, the lowest voice is your body. Like, that is the one which is going to, the mind at least and the spirit are going to somewhere. The soul and the spirit. The body, that one is just soil. How can you listen to soil when God is talking? Praise the Lord. How do you listen to soil, mud, when God says you're healed, but your mud says no, you're not healed? Now, I remember one day I was in the gym working out. Then I got a muscle pull, like cramps. And I was running, and I was determined to run. So I was still, healthy. So it came, and I almost stopped. Then I said, I don't listen to the voice of my... So I speak out loud. It might seem stupid, but I do it. I say, body, shut up. Your voice does not matter here. There are higher voices than you. Your voice is insignificant. So you shut up. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say. Yeah, I am going to run because the higher voice says that I am healed. Guess what happened? It stopped. I did not even stop 1 minute. The Lord is my witness. I didn't stop 1 minute. I continued running, and it is trying to get your attention. But you know, have you ever seen somebody who is insignificant trying to get your attention? Now, I'm telling you this because before we start asking people from outside to come and they get healed, we have to first make sure all of those who are inside are healed. There are no sicknesses here. We have to make sure that there is healing. There are no sicknesses here. And people understand that the Lord, even in the Old Testament, which was an inferior covenant, had an outlet for sickness. For Exodus 15. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out in the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah, which means bitter. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he cast it into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the sicknesses on you which I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Now, when the water is healed, there are no sicknesses. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, the water is healed. No more bitter water. The rivers of God bring to birth. And I'm not just talking about sickness. I'm talking about, barrenness. Like the one which that guy had. Sickness in your business, sickness in anything, your children, your relationships, your what, everything has to be brought to birth. I mean, it has to come out and you experience fruitfulness in it. Now, that's what the Lord sent me to tell you here today. And now, by the way, when I say the Lord sent me, I actually mean he sent me. I don't just say those words, praise the Lord. I don't just say those words, that there is a rebirth, a renewing of everything. So if something which you have been chasing and you're planning and you think it is the will of God, and it had died, now is the time for it to be resurrected. Because the rivers that make glad are in our midst. Now you see, even in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15. And the Lord will take away from you all sicknesses, and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known. But will lay them on all those who hate you. By the way, talking about that, you remember the other religious law who were fighting? Which was trying to curb all what? Religious freedoms in the country. Now, we are fighting with some guy who is a minister. And when we stopped and we got busy with other things, they had revived it. They were in the business of trying to pass the law again. So they were in Kalangala apparently doing what? Consultations. Then of the hand of the Lord caught him from there and struck him. By the way, now you see that religious thing. Now, okay, for us we fought for a while, but now let God sort them. Because you see some of these people, they have to see something, they have to see a hard thing for them to believe. Praise the Lord. There are people who they have to be put in a tough place before they believe. And you know that's the gospel we are going in right now. You remember in the book of Acts of the Apostles, verse chapter 13, Paul was trying to preach the gospel to a leader, and some witch came and was trying to confuse him. Now you see, these are people of grace, the gospel of grace. Paul, but he said, the hand of God is upon you, and you are going to be blind. And the man became blind, and they led him away. But thankfully, Paul said, just for a while, so he did not make him permanently blind, just to show him that God is God. Now, some people have to be shown that God is God. Like, God is not government. Government is nothing. You understand? Like, we cannot be, just because you are in some leadership position, that does not, like, people have to learn these things, by the way. And now some of them are going to be hit. That man was going to die if he wasn't covered. I'm telling you. Now, the one whom he was with, like, some people have to know that God is God. And now he means business. This entire, but do you know that in a neighboring country down here, they closed 700 churches? Did you read about it? Now, that guy was on BBC. And they were praising him. You know those people, Man, you know, closing over these churches, over noise pollution and what? And you know what he told them? But man, he told them that, how can there be 700 churches when there are not even 700 boreholes in Kigali? Now, you see, when somebody starts reducing God to boreholes, then he's about to be shown who is God. Do you understand? Now, watch those words. There are things which, if you are going to rule, you don't do. And when somebody is about to be set up, I'm telling you, when this Gaddafi came here and said he's King of Kings, I knew that's the end of him. Like, no matter who you are, there are certain things that you can't dare God. Do you understand? You cannot stand, and you can do everything you want to do, but you don't dare God. Now, when he started calling himself King of Kings, now, there was a time when, at the peak of Moi's powers in Kenya, when he was also feeling like he's the man. You know those people who praise? They are praise singers who, like, get money from, you know, making human beings to look like God. So some lady came and said that, President Moi, you are the Prince of Peace. Moi stood up and told her, shut up. I am not the Prince of Peace. I am the President of the Republic of Kenya. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Now, that's a clever man. Because once they lift you up, you remember Herod in the Bible? He gave food to people and they said, the voice of a God and not a voice of a man. And immediately, maggots start eating him from inside. Like, you cannot be a man and compare yourself to God. You cannot dare God. You understand? Now, how do you compare churches to boreholes? Now, you wait, you'll see. You wait, you'll see. If you've chosen to be a demonic person, be a demonic person. It's your right to go to hell. But let those people who want to worship God, worship God. Praise the Lord. Yes. That's how it works. Now, you will see. Now, also in the UK, they have closed down so many churches and replaced them with mosques. In China, the government is raising down churches. The other day, they raised down a mega church which sits like 3,000 people. Well built. They just brought bulldozers and raised it down. Now the time of the Antichrist and fighting religious freedoms is now. We have entered that area. Amen? The other day, Twitter closed an account of somebody for criticizing the Pope. Now we are getting there. You understand? We are getting there. Now it starts slowly. They slowly, tighten the screw. Before long, even just saying the things we say right now, they close down your account. Now, if they can do it for somebody who is known, how much more these other ones? You see? Now, already, first of all, they are messing up. Like, they are messing up religious, churches like ours. Now, previously, we would pay to get likes on Facebook. Because likes means that when you post something, all the people who liked got it. But do you know now they no longer do that? Now there's no point in likes. That's why we even stopped boosting our page. And that's why I told you people that when we post something on our page and you want to preach the gospel, just share it. It's the only way they can't Because then your friends get it and there is nothing they can do about it. Eh? But otherwise they try to curb it. Like they, man, there is the spirit of the Antichrist working with the spirit of the false prophet. Do you know those people would say everything about religion, but now say anything about this Pope? You'll see. Like they will come for you, unless you're the watchman. Eh? But like, they come and like they will come for you. Eh? Like, that shows you that he is like one of them. Do you understand? Eh? Other Popes, you could abuse them, but not this one. Those organizations closed down, you know what? Now, remember what I was telling you about the war which is in Syria? Man, the other day, 100 Russians were killed by Americans. Now, already the tempers are flaring. Eh? Tempers are flaring. Now, anything can happen anytime. And the minute it happens, then you know we are heading to the end of the end. Amen? Now, Jesus is coming back soon. That is the purpose of this ministry. I'll tell you, Jesus is coming back what? Soon. But before he comes back, those who are appointed for dominion in Gaelic have to go and get dominion in Gaelic. Eh? Those who are appointed for dominion in business have to go and get it. Eh? Everybody has to find an area of their dominion. Those who are called into the ministry have to go and get their dominion in the ministry. Like everybody has to start. Now, there are places where I go and tell you that, no, close your ministry, come and submit here. No, that is crap. That's crap. Can a father tell his son that you leave your home, leave your wife, come and stay in my home? Like if somebody tells you that, know that he's not a father. Because a father celebrates when his son leaves to go and start his own home. True or false? Yeah. If your son says, I got a woman, I'm going to marry, you celebrate that. And he goes and starts his own home. That's actually the purpose of fatherhood. Now, if somebody is telling his son that close your home, come and live in my house, is he going to live there with his wife? And raise his children there? Praise the Lord. But you see, that is insecurity. Eh? Those are people who are insecure. Now, people like us, who have strength of character. Okay. Eh? Like, the thing is, like, go and start something. Go and start your ministry. Man, like, Jesus is coming. There are people up there. Somebody was telling me, why don't you preach the entire message in Luganda? There are people who can preach it in Luganda. Not me. Me, I'm going international. Let them go and preach in Luganda, eh? And they will, those people will get in Luganda. Now me, I don't know if I can speak in Luganda, but very well. I think I can, eh? But let them go and start. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So now we are looking out for the two prophecies we talked about, the Gog and Magog war, which is already sizing up as it is. Okay? Russia has moved in very, very, very powerful weapons into Syria. Very powerful weapons. Now, that is not just bluffing. They are preparing for war. The other day, Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, had the State of the Nation address, of Nation of our Union or something, address. And he was showing them the superiority of Russia's nuclear weapons over the rest of the world, and even America. And he said they can actually dodge defense mechanisms. So the nuclear weapon comes and then it goes around. See you. Then dodges this one, then dodges this one. Like almost like Messi, eh? Then it gets to what? Then it gets to its goal. And by the way, that is true. You're demonstrating before them. Eh? Now, when a president like Putin, instead of telling people about the economy and things like that, he's talking about the superiority of the nuclear weapons, you know that war is about. Eh? Now, you've also had the North Korean guy. Eh? Eh? Now he's apparently going to meet Americans. Eh? Something is brewing in that country. And I suspect North Korea has to be part of that war. I told you that I'm sure of Turkey, Iran, most of the Arab countries, Saudi Arabia and what. I'm sure of Russia. I suspect China. It has to be there. And as well as some Sudan, Ethiopia, these North African countries and so on. So now all this is being done. And two prophecies have to come to pass. The first one is that one in Ezekiel 38 and 39, which you spoke about, which is also in Revelation chapter 9. Eh? Praise the Lord. Now we are going to read Revelation chapter 22 and finish there. Then we go into Holy Communion. Eh? 22 and verse. Okay. And the shower of pure water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. This river is here, of life. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. Each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now stop there. Now you say that this is talking about that time. It's talking about now actually. Healing to the nations. Amen? Healing to what? Yeah. The nations will not need healing when we are in heaven. If you think it's talking about that. There's no healing because you can't even get sick. Because you have a glorified body. So when it talks about healing, it's talking about now. So that river is now. Now, when you take Holy Communion, the reason we have this thing here is it represents, Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And it represents you taking on everything that he is for yourself. Now, the bread, okay? Let's first read that a bit. First Corinthians chapter 11. There's something I want to show you there. Okay, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Is it not to eat the Lord's Supper? For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and the other is drunk. Now, I want you to notice, do you know they actually drank wine? Because you can't get drunk on Ribena, eh? But you see here it says that what? One is hungry, another is drunk. You know some people are more holy than the Bible, eh? Okay, let's go ahead. Do you not have houses, or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Okay, go ahead. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes, eh? Go ahead. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. Somebody say unworthy manner. Say unworthy manner. Does it say unworthy man? Eh? It's not talking about the person. There is nobody who is unworthy. It is the way you do it. And he has described it. Others overeat, others overdrink and get drunk. That's what he says unworthy. What is unworthy is not the man or the woman. It is the way. Do you understand? Eh? So, if you know, have you been in those churches where they say, first repent before you what? Eh? Now they make you not understand what you're doing. And it actually brings condemnation. Instead of you knowing that it is not talking about the man, it's talking about the manner in which you eat it. And he explained it very well. Some eat a lot, some drink. They are shaming the church of God. So everyone here is worthy. Amen? Everyone is what? Yes. He's not talking about an unworthy manner. Oh, man, he's talking about an unworthy man. So, we'll be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Go ahead. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Now, why is he saying examine himself? The way he does it, it's the same thing. He started from there. Don't pull out this one of examining yourself. There is nobody who is going to examine you, not even God. Amen? Remember what I told you last Friday? The high priest examines what? The lamb, not the man. So don't examine yourself. Okay, go ahead. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment. So now, if you want judgment, you come and get all this bread and run away with it. That's what will cause judgment. But otherwise, if you eat and drink, it causes healing. Eh? So don't disqualify yourself from what God wants us to do. Eh? Everybody is worthy. It is just the manner. So you take it in a disciplined way. That's all. That's what he's warning against. Okay. To himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, then he goes on to say, go ahead. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep or die. Now, what he says, not discerning the Lord's body, is not knowing that every time you eat of this fruit, of this bread in this way, you actually are taking on the nature of the body of Jesus. So if Jesus could not get sick, neither can you. So when you eat the bread, you're actually eating his flesh. So now, why he says so many are weak and sleep is because they just eat, they don't discern. Now, discern means when I'm getting this bread, it is just bread which was bought from a supermarket. But it represents the body of Jesus, which was broken for you, which was broken so that you never have to ever be broken again, so that you're whole. Do you understand? Eh? Now, that's what it means discerning the Lord's body. Now, this is something you can even do at home, and which, like, I sometimes do at home. Just all you need is bread and wine. Okay, if you prefer, you can drink soda. But bread and what? Wine. Yeah. And then you sanctify that bread and sanctify that wine and take it. Do you know these people used to do this every day? When it says they went from house to house breaking bread. It doesn't mean eating. It actually meant having Holy Communion. And for that reason, so many of them lived their lives healthy. Now, this is what we are trying to do to say. So now, the reason so many people fall asleep is because they don't see that this piece of bread, because Jesus left it and designed it as such, is actually his body, which was broken so that yours never has to be broken, which shed its blood so that yours doesn't have to go through that. Praise the Lord. So when you take it on, you take on all the benefits that accrue from the body of Jesus. Now, when you take on the drink the wine, you get all the benefits of the New Testament, which are sanctification, righteousness, holiness, prosperity, and everything. Everything that Jesus died for is represented in the blood. Now, the body and the blood is the man. Okay? Jesus is his body and his blood. So now you take both of them. So now, you don't just remember that he died. That's what the thing is. He died for you, and you are in. He's in you, and you are in him. So now, every benefit of the new covenant comes to you automatically when you take the wine. All the, whatever, Mirinda fruit. And everybody, benefit of his body. Sicklessness. Strength. If Jesus could wake up and say, today I have a headache, I can't go and preach. Then that's what you're taking on. But if he couldn't, then that's what you're taking on. Praise the Lord. Now, anybody who is sick, even those who are not sick. Now, by the way, and the benefit also of the wine is the refreshing which I'm talking about. If any area of your life is not complete, anything about you that is, you feel, my finance, you know, my this, my that, you know, the health of my children, you can all actually get all those benefits. And anything that needs to be refreshed, praise the Lord, and that needs to be, you know, resurrected in your life, even in the grave is Lord. Now, any area in your life which has some grave in it, like there are so many people who are in dysfunctional marriages. Now, you can actually believe with the blood. You say, I'm not sick, I'm healthy, and what? Very good. Okay, take the bread so that you stay that way. But take the blood to resurrect anything of your life, any part of your life. So you say, this is not working out. My job is fake. I want a refreshing in my job. Praise the Lord. That is a benefit. It's also here. Everything is here. Everything that Jesus died for is right here. Praise the Lord. And we bring ourselves into remembrance of that by doing an ordinance which he set in place himself. Okay? On that night, the night before the Passover, when he actually instituted this thing, before the Passover in which he was healed. Praise the Lord. Now, I saw people being healed of cancer. I saw a dialysis, okay? I saw eye problems. I saw eye problems. I saw sexuality issues. I saw, these are things I actually saw before, beforehand. So now there are so many things. So any sickness that it is you have, actually now I'm seeing an issue with somebody who has a discharge from her private parts, which is very smelly to the point that you even are scared of, you know, you're even scared of, you've used herbs and all those things to sort it, but it's actually very shaming for you that you even are scared to go out with any man because you feel that that's a part of you that you cannot let out as a secret. So now today the Lord is healing you. Amen. Now those are some of the things which are that one I didn't see yesterday, that one I'm seeing right now. Rika Bazantara, everybody speaking tongues, we are going to as you come and distribute these things right now, so that we hurry through it and we finish by 9 if possible. Rika Brazantalava Shoko Krozonto, we declare your majesty.
We declare
that your name is holy. What are you suffering from?
Madness and miracle, victoriously, and your power shone throughout the
first, the order which the Lord gave us. This lady doesn't have bread. Wait, she's coming. Give her. Get for her. Okay. Wonderful. You have bread? Okay. Who else is sick among us? Come and sit here. So now, you've heard what I said. Take the body of Jesus, and with it you take everything about Jesus. His body, his health. Amen. Do you believe that? That's what the Bible says. So you eat. It's the body. Just that, not just the body alone. Tell her to eat. Tell her to eat. It's the body. It's the body. In the name of Jesus, Father, I speak healing upon these wonderful people. In the name of Jesus. Even as they take off his body, the healing power of God touches each and every one of them in the name of Jesus. Now take the wine. You've taken the body. Okay. Take the wine, take the wine. Or whatever it is. You said your back is paining.
The legs.
Eh?
The legs.
And the legs. Eh? So what can't you do?
I can't walk, I'm always at home.
Okay, let's stand up. Now the healing power of God touches you. Now try to walk the way you couldn't. Walk properly. Now imagine yourself strong, going to work, going to... What couldn't you do? I want to see what you couldn't do. What couldn't you do?
Bow before your throne.
zange zabulungi kati gwayo wamuna amazzi
Okay. The healing power of God touches you in the name of the kidney. Kidney. Now, Pastor Nan, immediately. When you get the body and the blood, just wait. Just wait. You said you? First wait. Speak louder. First leave that keyboard.
I was suffering from sickle cell anemia, but my auntie came and gave me a testimony that I am healed, so I believe I'm healed. In
go and check. Go and find out. Okay. We want you to be sure using those means of those people. So you come and tell us. And so now what is the issue? Just that? Okay, you go and come and tell us. Yes?
Yeah, I have been diagnosed with cancer. I have been on treatment. And the other day, you gave a prophecy to one of my spiritual sons who has been coming here. But I have been going through radiotherapy in Malago. So when you said that you talked.
What kind of cancer?
I started with breast cancer.
Amen. That's exactly what I saw. You're healed. I'm very sure of that.
I am healed. I believe it, man.
I am very, very sure of that.
I believe it, man of God.
Hey, you're healed.
I am healed. I believe it, man of God.
I rebuke every sickness in your body. I rebuke every cancer. The demon or the infirmity in the name of Jesus. I rebuke it and I command it to come out of your body in the name of Jesus. And now that cancer dies off in Jesus' name. You will come and give us a testimony. Amen. Rika, brothers, and
tell me. Let me tell you a prophecy.
Yes.
I've been praying for people with cancer. I have been praying for people and God has been healing them. Now, I was in a church where there was a prophet. I said, God, I am not going to ask for prayers. Let God speak. Can't you God speak to somebody? And when you reveal that, I readily go. And I believe you will use them and I'll be healed. But when my son spoke, I'm not somebody who normally goes, Derek. I'm not somebody who normally goes to look for healing.
Who is Derek?
So when Derek said,
who
somebody
gave him a testimony?
Eh?
First come and tell us. So go ahead.
So I have been sick, but I did not want to keep expounding it because I believed I'm going through this so that God will use me for mighty things. So I believed God for my healing even before. So when Derek spoke to my son, he said, you know, where you go, a prophet was shown that somebody very close to you is suffering from cancer. I said, okay, let me go by that word. Let me tell you, man of God. I said, I'm also going to test the doctrine. But when I was here, I have been following step by step. This is the right doctrine. And God has used you to proclaim my total healing.
Amen.
Which began.
Amen. So, what prophecy? It had nothing to do with this.
Last week during the service, you actually spoke about it. And I remember I was waiting for somebody to raise the hand and say, it is my auntie or my mother. But when so nobody, you know, gave a response, you remember I raised up a little later and he said, why did you delay in responding? And he said, bring that person next week. So that's how I got
okay, to okay. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I speak complete healing upon, what's her name?
Regina.
Yeah. In the name of Jesus, I speak complete healing upon Regina, in the name of Jesus. Who is Gertrude? Who is Gertrude? Somebody called Gertrude? Just come forward if your name is Gertrude. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because the healing power of God touches her and makes her whole in the name of Jesus. And she becomes strong again, and she does everything, even in her old age, that nothing shall be impossible for her physically to do in the name of Jesus, that she's restored completely in Jesus' name. Amen. Rika Bazonto. Are you healed?
I'm healed.
Yeah? I'm saying, is there evidence or are you?
Yes, because I couldn't bend. Now I can bend. I'm feeling in the hips. Now I don't feel any
pain in the hips. Eh?
Yes.
And the back is okay?
The back is okay.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. So tomorrow you are going to be no more going to work.
Yes, yes, yes.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Who else is sick? Who else is sick of something which is... What? Come. Come, also you. Yes, come. What are you suffering from?
Back cancer.
Back and chest pain?
Yes.
Published. Eh? So what can't you do?
Everything without any pain.
Can you lift heavy things? Can you...
Yeah, I can lift.
So what can't you do?
It does not stop me from doing anything, but it always pain at night when I'm sleeping.
Okay, you take your bread, receive it in the name of Jesus, the body of Jesus. Not all of you, just him. Eh? And take your blood, I mean the blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Okay? Okay, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing upon this back, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. I cause, but just baptisms, I cause them to go in the name of Jesus, and you become healthy in Jesus' name. Who has something which we can verify right now? I want like a healing which is going to. What's your problem? Breast cancer. This is what I want. Who else is cancer? Any other cancer? You have cancer? Your uncle? Okay. Where is your brain and bring it? Okay. When were you diagnosed with cancer? Hey, you get a limit of money. But you can't get a breast cancer. But you
can't get a breast
cancer. December, you can't get
a breast cancer.
You can't get
a breast cancer.
What did she say? Carcinoma. Carcinoma is also cancer. Bakulongo say.
Baba salako na enga muna chichara.
Okay. Kati. Dio mukati. Umbiri kwa Kristo. Okay. Now in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that cancer in her breast. In the name of Jesus. And I speak complete healing. What out? I speak complete healing in the name of Jesus. And a complete reversal in Jesus' name. I rebuke that demon of infirmity in the name of Jesus. And I speak complete reversal of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Kati ujja kuddayo bakebere. Odi buto? Ujja kuddayo bakebere. Okomewe. Ujja kuddayo. Okubudde. Amen. Any other cancer? No, you're taking on behalf of your uncle. Okay, you take it. What do you have? Yes. The name of Jesus. What's his name? Was there anybody called Gertrude? Nobody. Okay. In the name of Jesus, Father, what cancer? In the name of Jesus, Father, I rebuke it. Okay. In the name of Jesus, Father, I rebuke it. In Jesus' name. And I decree that he is healed, that David is healed of both of them. In the name of Jesus. Now the healing is in him and restores every part of his body. In Jesus' name. Amen. There is a prostrate, eh? First wait. No, no. A relative, eh? Prostrate. You, eh? Who? Your uncle, eh? Okay. You also take on his behalf, eh? Okay. What's he called?
Elphaz.
Elphaz, eh? Okay, in the name of Jesus, Father, I speak health into the life of Elphaz. And I use, what's your name? Use Joanne as a point of contact, and in the name of Jesus, because she's here, he's healed. Eh? Now the healing power of God gets to where he is right now, in the name of Jesus, and touches him, eh? And he is healed in Jesus' name. Where is he?
Ngoma.
Where is he?
Ruero.
Okay. Okay. Where's the other cancer? What? Who? Uncle. Okay. Also, you take quickly. What's he called?
Stephen.
Stephen, eh? Also prostrate.
Yes.
Okay, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke it and I speak the healing power of God upon Stephen that touches him and changes his story. In the name of Jesus, now he comes out healed in Jesus' name. What's yours? Also prostrate, eh? Okay. Let's take that then. Fibroids, eh? There's somebody who has serious fibroids. If you're that person, come forward, eh? Like mega fibroids, eh? Quickly. So what we do quickly? Okay, he's called who?
Peter, my dad.
Okay, he's healed in the name of Jesus. He's healed. What are you suffering from? Go and lay your hands on your girls. Your friend has to come here. Is he a mature person? He has to come if he wants to get healed. And it has to be a relative. That's how spiritual things.
He cannot talk. He cannot even walk.
What's he called?
He's called Charles.
Charles. Mm. Okay, you take on his behalf. What's yours? Your aunt is paralyzed.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you have a relative whom you want to stand in for, and she's a relative, a blood relation, not a friend, not a, you know, unless like a husband or wife, but such either spouse or relative, you just stand up. You want to stand in for them. So, let me first pray for this one. You take the body. Okay. Your brother is called Charles.
Charles.
Okay. In the name of Jesus, Father, I speak that the healing power of God touches Charles in the hospital, and he is, which hospital? Here in Aguru, eh? Okay, in the name of Jesus, and he's and he recovers, eh? And now he's going to come out of coma, eh? He's going to come out of coma, and in a period of about 6 weeks, eh? Even the damage that was caused by the stroke will be reversed slowly, and you will be restored completely.
Amen.
And now when that happens, you come and tell us what the Lord has done. Okay, now all of you are relatives, blood relation, father, mother, uncle, brother, sister, something like that. Now take your body, take the body of Jesus, and quickly the blood. Now the healing power of God reaches out from here and touches them. Mention their name. In the name of Jesus, the healing power of God touches each and every one of them, and they are turned around in the name of Jesus. Now, even if they have not come here for this time, when the time of testimonies come, let them come and testify. Cause them to come and testify in the name of Jesus, because something is happening in those the lives of those people. In the name of Jesus, mention their name, is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And what's your... What's wrong with your leg?
My leg.
Nothing.
I have, since childhood, I have a kind of, it's bent.
Bent? Eh?
Yeah.
Why don't we straighten it? That is what?
I don't know, like it's just like that, not sure.
I want to straighten it. So what are you here for?
I was here for the eyes, because I've had itchy eyes since childhood.
Yeah. Okay. Who else's eyes? Eye problems? Stand up, stand up. If you haven't already taken your body and blood, you take it now. If you have, it's okay. Also your eyes, eh? Okay, in the name of Jesus, take your body and blood. All of you have done it? Okay. Father, I thank you for a correction of eyesight in the name of Jesus. I thank you because from now on, these people, these wonderful people, what's your name?
Kenisha. Kenisha.
What do you do?
I'm in vacation for 6 days.
Okay. In the name of Jesus. Do you put on glasses?
Yes.
Okay. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because you said you're okay.
Kenisha.
She's the point of contact for all the people who have eye problems. In the name of Jesus, I thank you because they are healed. They are healed. They are healed. In Jesus' name. Now the other issues, all ears. For who? He's deaf. He's completely deaf.
He was said. He went to deaf ear test, and he's still sedated.
Yeah, that's why he's like this. Okay. Open his ears. Sorry. Yeah, eyes, you're healed. Okay, what? That which you prayed for us at that time. Okay, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for the healing power of God. Hold it. I thank you for the healing power of God that now touches that knee in the name of Jesus. And in Jesus' name, it shall. Like I told you that time, it has like water or something. Yes? Okay, now in the name of Jesus, it is drained out. And it shall not gather there again in the name of Jesus. Now you're healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Does it pain?
Yes, it used to.
So, does it still pain now? I mean, was it pain?
No, it doesn't.
Just sometimes.
It used to be all the time.
Yes. And now?
No, it doesn't.
What couldn't you do?
Squat.
Okay. Amen. And you? Now, asthma. I saw asthma. Who has asthma? Anybody has asthma or respiratory issues? Something respiratory. Come very quickly. So anything to do with respiration. Did you open the kid's ears? But he's sedated. We can't know if he's hearing. Yours? So you bring him back and we see when he's not sedated. That's what we know that. Now, if, like, we are not gambling, we are getting healed, so if it's, like, for some reason you come back, we are not, eat your bread, you said your problem is asthma,
And back pain.
And back pain, Okay, in the name of Jesus, I all your respiratory. Why is your heart pumping so fast?
Done.
Okay, I clear your chest in the name of Jesus. And I rebuke that asthma in the name of Jesus. And I command it to get out of your body in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. And now I decree that you shall no more get an attack of asthma in the name of Jesus. Because it is uprooted from your body in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And your back? What's wrong with your back?
They're on the upstairs.
And now what can you do?
like when I'm squatting, mm-hmm. when I, like, I'm bending, mm-hmm. I feel pain.
Can you try now? You feel pain?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke. Uh-huh. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke this pain. In Jesus' name. And a corrective in the spine. The spine is healed. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Uh-huh. Okay, bend again. Okay, asthma healed. Have you taken your body? In the name of Jesus, asthma healed. In Jesus' name. And what's yours? Asthmatic, eh? Okay. In the name of Jesus, your asthma is healed and you shall no more have an attack. What's your name? Eh?
Yeah.
Neither. But you have other issues, eh?
A lot.
A lot, eh?
A lot.
Okay, now, the healing power of God touches you in the name of Jesus. Now, I rebuke every demonic force that seeks to take your health, eh? In the name of Jesus, because I see that yours actually has a lot of demonic things in it, eh? And people who are trying to. So now your story changes, eh? In the name of Jesus. And now Satan, I command you to take your hands off. You said Munira, eh? Off Munira in the name of Jesus, because every spirit of infirmity that causes it, eh? I command you to depart, eh? In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. And now I cover you from every witchcraft, every power of the enemy that tries to keep you in sickness and in bondage because of, you know, people who are fighting you. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke it. And I cover you in the blood of Jesus. I cover you in the blood of Jesus, and I decree that now you shall no longer be known as sickly. Sickly every time you're sick. Eh? Now the power of God touches your body and you become strong again. In Jesus' name. Now, anybody hasn't taken their body? Okay, take it right now. What's your issue? Stand here. Have you taken your body? Okay. So everybody take it. Now the body of Jesus. Now say in the name of Jesus. Sickness shall not be my portion. I walk in health. Now as I receive the body of Jesus Christ, which was broken for me, my body shall be whole. Every day I walk in the strength, in the health, and in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, sickness forgets my address today. It doesn't know where I stay. When it comes looking for me, it will find I'm not there, because I belong to health right now. Say, health is my portion. Now, in the name of Jesus, say it again, in the name of Jesus. As I take this blood, I take upon myself every benefit of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. I take upon myself every privilege of the new covenant. So I walk in prosperity, I walk in health, in wealth. I cannot be put down. Every good promise belongs to me. Now everything that had died is brought alive. Every area of my life that was dead is brought alive in the name of Jesus. Because the streams of the Lord God touch every area of my life in the name of Jesus. They touch my finances, they touch my health, they touch my job, they touch my family, they touch my relationships in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Okay, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing upon your body. I command the demon of infirmity that causes that sickness to lose. What's your name? Jen. To lose Jen in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now the healing power of God touches you and turns you around and changes every aspect of you and everything that is in you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because you point your hands towards her in the name of Jesus and just speak healing upon her. Now you know you are a, now that you've taken the body and blood of Jesus, you are a conveyor of the healing power of God. Eh? So just point it towards her, eh? And point the healing power that you've acquired today and let it converge upon her and cause a complete healing upon her body, upon the body of Jane, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, because infirmity shall not be her story. I rebuke that demon in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, because she's cleansed her blood in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, all of you, you go and be seated. All of you are going to go and... what about you? Eh? Asthmatic. Have you taken your body and blood? Okay, now receive healing in the name of Jesus. Receive healing in Jesus' name. Receive... First stay around. I'm seeing epilepsy. Yeah? Epilepsy. Anybody? Epilepsy. If it, you have epilepsy, just come running here very fast. Eh? The power of God is here to heal you. Okay, so again, I hold in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that asthma, and I decree that you shall no more get an attack, eh? In the name of Jesus. Eh? It is reversed in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Epilepsy, huh? Yeah, that is. And you? What? You, eh? Okay. And you? Your mother. Okay, these are the last ones I'm praying for then. Now all of you are healed. Eh? Okay.
But these days,
it's
weakening.
So now say it is gone.
It's gone.
Okay, I agree with you. It is gone in the name of Jesus, and you shall not get an attack again in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. What does your sister do?
She doesn't do anything.
Why? How old is she?
She's 24.
That's kind of affected her.
She's perfect, but recently it's just too much. It keeps coming.
Okay, do you have a point of contact? Like you have a cheap what? You don't have like a scarf, something. Okay, and you do? Go and get a point of contact. Or you take a what? No. Get a bread, eh? And that car thing, eh? That car austere. take it to her, eh? And give it to her. Eh? And she will be healed. Eh? In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because the healing power touches your mom. Eh? What's her name?
Jessica.
Touches your mom. Touches Jessica in the name of Jesus. And that epilepsy dies away in Jesus' name. And she no more has an attack in the name of Jesus. And your sister is called?
Jared.
Eh?
Jared.
Okay. But also her. Now when you give her that bread, eh? The power of God will touch her. And she will be healed. Eh? And shall not come back again, eh? In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Really overshot, but you'll be. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for the connection of your people to the grace that is upon this place. Now I pray in the name of Jesus that they are touched. Every area of their life is touched in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because this is a connection to life. This is a connection to the river that makes alive everything it touches. Everything that it touches, it makes alive in the name of Jesus. And things are resurrected, ideas are resurrected, businesses are resurrected, and everything, because the river of God has touched them and they get solutions In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, because this is the portion of each and every person here, even as they connect this day with their seed. I pray in the name of Jesus that they do not remain the same. May their lives be transformed in every way possible. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.